Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Rocket Mortgage, folks, they're with you every step of the way. You want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time. Friendo, Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4 CBS, 855-212-4227. All you guys, for the rest of the hour, for the rest of the show, believe we have the great John Marks coming on next, 2 to 6. Sports Radio WIP in Philadelphia, where we find out that, Jim Schwartz is going to take a year off in 2021. Things are really weird for the Eagles right now, man. Really, really weird. So make sure you're listening to him. I'm sure he's got lots of college football, everything to talk about. John's a great host, and he's going to do a hell of a job. Whew. Just running up and down the stairs, I'm sorry. If you know what I look like, that's quite a while, okay? So let's be serious here. Couple of things to get to. One, the Steve Sarkisian thing. I'm getting a lot of texts and a lot of people getting in about the Steve Sarkisian thing. And I'm going to get to Dabo here in a second. Trust me, I ain't going to forget about Dabo. I opened up the show with it. I'm going to do it again. And I'll take your calls, 855-212-4CBS. First off, on Steve Sarkisian, I think it's a good hire. Now, record it, and maybe we'll have to play it again here in 3 years. I don't know. I think it's a good hire. Let me tell you why. There, people are saying, well, they're paying Tom Herman $25 million to go away. That's how bad they don't like him anymore. That's how much they don't like him anymore and don't want him around. They're willing to give him $25 million to go away. During a pandemic, they're willing to give him $25 million to go away. They don't want him anymore. They are in Texas. It is a borderline psychotic booster system. I would say almost schizophrenic booster system. But also, hey, they've got reasons to be. They got money, and they are not having the type of performance that they demand. And their fan base is passionate, and it's, you know, because you're at the University of Texas, you're sitting on something. But I think that program's forgotten what that is. You are sitting in a state where you're the big state school. No offense to A&M, folks, but you're the big state school. A kid who's from Texas is either a five-star athlete, can run like the wind, whether he's a 330-pound defensive lineman who you have to trim down because he has the baby fat on him, or he's already 137 pounds and you got to put some muscle on him, but he can fly like the wind and he's a five-star athlete and he's going to be great for you. Or he's a kid who's a plumber. He's 3'2", one star, but you know that kid knows football because he's from Texas. So you can put him there and he'll probably end up playing early for you because he's tough enough. Now, those type of kids don't usually go to Texas. That's why some schools have some real success getting kids, recruiting kids from Texas, because at the very least, the kids know the sport. They are disciplined. They can do what they're supposed to do because they've been playing the game since they were 5 years old. I think this came down to hubris with Tom Herman. I think Tom Herman made it. And this is why I think that this is a good hire by Texas. Over the last couple of hires, and I hate to do this to Charlie Strong because I like Charlie Strong and I like that hire too. I was questioning the Tom Herman hire, I swear to God. It made sense, but I still questioned it. I think guys go to Texas, or they get to a place like Texas, and over the last few years, I think they've made it. And I think they tend to lose what made them great. To lose that fight, to lose that struggle, to get young people to believe, to get young people and their parents to believe in him. I think that they lose that. I mean, you just heard it from Brandon Marcello. There's kids who are in that locker room. They didn't want anything to do with Tom Herman anymore. And that's no secret. There's head coaches in college football whose players hate their guts, but they're still able to drive something out of them and get them going to where they need to go. And Tom Herman wasn't doing that anymore. Flat out, you are not supposed to be an 8-win football team or a 7-win team at Texas. It's Texas. You're in some of the most fertile football ground in the country, which turns out to be in the world. It is unacceptable. And I think that this has become a place, and I think there's lots of programs that put themselves in that fear. You know, how do you replace Nick Saban someday at Alabama? You know, you went from one person to another. Then you got Gene Stallings, who, you remember when you went from Paul Bryant, you went to a couple of different people. Then you got to Gene Stallings. Gene Stallings, he won a national championship. Now, that was under some scrutiny, obviously, later on, but Gene Stallings still won a national championship, but he was a disciple of Bryant, so he went the Bryant route, and that worked. And then he ended up with a guy who went to a strip club and ended up ruining things. I mean, things got a little rough there for Alabama for a moment. They weren't Alabama. How do you replace Saban? Do you get a guy who's a big name, who is a up-and-comer, who is a guy who thinks he's made it? Because it's one thing, and somebody will tell you, if you ever have a career, it's one thing to get a job. It's a whole other thing to keep it. And I think that Charlie Strong and Tom Herman did what they could to get the job, and I don't think they did. Obviously, they didn't do what they needed to do to keep the job. I have no defense. And it's not just with Texas. This is what the big programs have to fear. You got a great thing going right now if you're Ohio State. What do you do if Ryan Day does decide one day he wants to try out the NFL? You win a national championship. Maybe you win another one at some point. It looks like you're going to be on a collision course at some point. Ryan Day looks like he's got the goods. He goes, you know, I was in the NFL. Maybe I try it. I've done what I can at college football. He knows that if he goes to the NFL, if he fails, he's not going to get the same type of job he had at Ohio State. Yeah, that might be okay. And Nick Saban did perfectly fine. Maybe he does. So there is a risk, and there is a fear of the next guy you hire. You could only guess. Mark Cuban has always said this, the hardest thing to do is to hire a coach. But how do you replace that? And they had a great thing going with Mack Brown for a long time. They had a good thing going in Michigan with Lloyd Carr. And they have been lost, with the exception of one good year with Brady Hoke. They've been lost for over a decade now up at Michigan. I think that that's what Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson, they should enjoy this ride right now. Notre Dame, too. I mean, Notre Dame had a couple of really unexceptional years with coaches who were certainly overrated with that. Notre Dame's enjoying some, whatever you think of Brian Kelly, and I think Brian Kelly can say some goofy stuff, too. They all do. And I think Brian Kelly can be as goofy as the rest of them. But he's still a pretty good coach. He's still done a really good job, and they still compete and go to the college football playoff. They get blown out, but they still compete, and they still do pretty well. It's how do you replace that guy? And Texas got caught up in it. USC got caught up in it. Michigan got caught up in it. That's why it's so unbelievable, and I think that's part of the reason people hate Ohio State. Ohio State hasn't had their comeuppance. Lost Jim Tressel because of the scandal. They get Urban Meyer. They spent 1 year on their ass with Luke Fickell. And now Luke Fickell is one of the up-and-coming names in college football. Has done a remarkable job at Cincinnati. They spent 1 year on their ass. Oh, and the 1 year they couldn't go to a bowl game, and they finished 12-0 and still beat Michigan. Whoa. It's so amazing. It really is. And I think people take these jobs, and I've made it. And the college, I've worked so hard at South Florida, and I've worked so hard at Houston, that these recruits are just going to come here. And it's not like that anymore. Look at Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer's on a plane when he's coaching. This is what burns him out. When he's coaching, he's on a plane 200 days a year. He's got those guys recruiting their asses off. They are looking for these people constantly. It is no longer, and it's unbelievable to let somebody out of your state when you're in a state like Texas. But it doesn't mean you don't work for them. You have to work for them. Urban Meyer being able to go into, and Ryan Day being able to go into Texas and take players out of Texas, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable for a team like Texas, for a program like that. You still need to go and make that effort, because there's guys out there who grind. And for Texas, I know that there were some names thrown out there. Urban Meyer was obviously thrown out there. I think Urban Meyer would if he when he's ready to come back, he will commit himself to the job and he'll grind. Who knows? Maybe he was watching Trevor Lawrence to see what he'd have with the Jaguars next year. We'll find out more later on. Matt Campbell, there were overtures made to him. I think it's a different situation. I think that at some point it feels like you're going to have to roll that dice and go. But also I think that there's a Stark County, Ohio is a weird place, and I think that there would be a weird feeling that he would have to go back to Jack Trice Stadium and coach against that team that he helped build that program, and I think it would probably hurt him if that program went back to being Iowa State, which why Iowa State has been until Matt Campbell got there, and have to go there and probably just put a hurting on Iowa State, and whoever were to coach Iowa State, I think that would probably be a problem for him. So there are weird feelings there. Other ones, you do run into the booster situation, but I think it's a good hire with Steve Sarkisian. I think he'll do his damnedest. I think he'll roll up his sleeves. He'll work hard. I think they got 10 win seasons in the future, and we'll see where it goes. 855-212-4CBS. I gotta get to Dabo because I told you I'd get to Dabo, and here we go. I started the show with this. There's a lot of people saying, and rightfully so, because the playoffs are on the line, that if the Cleveland Browns lose tomorrow, and this is the analogy I'm making, this is the example I'm using, if the Cleveland Browns lose tomorrow to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's going to be the most embarrassing loss since their history from coming back from 1999. And I think it would be heartbreaking. What was said earlier today by Matt Verderam was right. It would be their most heartbreaking loss since 1999. It wouldn't be their most embarrassing loss. Their most embarrassing loss, well, I could maybe argue that their most embarrassing loss came last year at Denver when Baker Mayfield shaved his face three times. Their most embarrassing loss came on the road against Pittsburgh and Duck Hodges. And the reason behind that is because, one, they just weren't where they needed to be headspace-wise, and two, their head coach was too much of a cartoon character and not as much of a head coach. And I knew that from wearing a Pittsburgh Started It shirt the night before the game. And as much as I like Freddie Kitchens as a guy, Freddie Kitchens could sit there and tell me till he's blue in the face, that his daughter told him to wear it, and I still say, yes, you're the grown-up. You shouldn't have worn the shirt. It's a bad look. It's unnecessary motivation for a group of grown men who have bested the Browns for a long time and don't need any extra motivation. It means something to professionals. There is a motivating factor. As much as I think Dabo Sweeney's a good coach, and I think he stuck his foot in his mouth a bunch of times in the past, certainly in 2020 he has, his players love him. I don't know why. All those things are eraser phrases. His players, I don't know what he does. I don't know what's in the water in Clemson, South Carolina. They love that guy to death. It is from graduation to us part for Dabo Sweeney. They love him, and he loves them back. He seems to. It really, honestly, it doesn't seem to be an act. They do seem to love each other, and he has a close relationship with his players. That's why it pains me to say this, because I thought I'd come out here this morning, and I would say how Dabo put his pills out there for everybody to see, that he thinks Ohio State doesn't belong, and he and Clemson just put their foot right on the throats and continued to pound away on Ohio State. And holy good Lord, was I wrong. I really thought Clemson would take it to him. I really did. And I haven't been so wrong in my life, and there was part of me I was glad to be wrong. To watch that game and to see him have to deal with the comeuppance of that was a beautiful thing. I love storylines. I love intrigue. I love drama. And I love confrontations. And that game had everything. And I saw one guy in Ryan Day who stayed quiet, who didn't run his mouth other than when he was filmed in his own locker room. And we can argue the merits of that. What you tell your players is what you tell your players. But who basically stayed quiet and continued to do the petty things that Ryan Day is capable of doing. Don't think for a second that Ryan Day didn't think before that Maryland game last year, when all of a sudden Chase Young was ineligible and they looked like they were trying to score 150 out there, that that's not what Ryan Day had in the back of his mind. If you don't think that's true, you're nuts. Ryan Day is as petty as any football coach out there. That's why I'm watching in my living room, and I got my little son Axel next to me, and I'm watching that game, and I see Justin Fields drop back throwing bombs up 21 in the early fourth quarter, and I had a big smile going across my face. He's going to try to make this guy eat this. He wants the entire world to know that, yep, you put Ohio State 11th, and we're going to make a big damn deal of this. And no matter what, if I were to rank Ohio State 11th and I had that argument, you'd think I'm stoned as a radio show host, but I'd have that argument. But I'm just another goofball radio show host who's filling the airspace. I have no power in this game. Fans who say it, they have no power in this game. Dabo Swinney has direct implications in this game and for whatever reason decided to take a pen before this game and put Ohio State, a team he very well could play, number 11. It may very well be, if I take a minute and think and try to rank him, it's the dumbest thing I've seen since Freddie Kitchens last year. It may very well be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen a coach do. He let his guard down for one moment, and he will answer to that for a very long period of time. If they don't win another national championship, if they don't get back to where they're supposed to be, then he will certainly answer to that for a long period of time. Now, I don't think that he'll have any problem doing that, but this will be a conversation around the 2020 Clemson Tigers forever. He ranked them 11th, and he says that he would do that. And do we, Connor, have the clip of Dabo trying to explain this again? Do we have that clip, Connor? Try to find that clip, because I can't do it justice. I need to hear Dabo Swinney kind of hemming and hawing and humming about this and trying to explain it away, because I just don't do it justice. So whisper in my ear when you have Dabo talking about that 11th ranking. Okay, go ahead and play this, because this is just glorious. Hit it.
They're a great team. As I said, you know, that had nothing to do with Ohio State. I said they were good enough to beat us, good enough to win the whole dang thing.
They won, and welcome to the All-State.
I didn't think anybody that didn't play at least 9 games, in my poll, that I wasn't going to put them in the top 10. So I wasn't going to change that just because there was a chance we could play them. So I don't have any regret about that. Only thing I regret is, I obviously didn't do a good enough job getting my team ready, but I don't regret anything about that at all.
If Dabo Swinney hosted the Dabo Swinney Show every day from 12 to 3 on whatever network he could host, he could go ahead and have that answer. You're the head coach of the Clemson Tigers. Motivation did not win this game for Ohio State. I'm not very smart, but I'm not that stupid. They have a very talented football team. They always have one of the best recruiting classes in the country. They're extremely well coached. They came out on the right side this time. They came out on the right side of the bed. They played tough. They played face-up with Clemson. Their defense, for the first time in 2020 into 2021, made the adjustments that they need to make. They played with purpose. I have not seen that defensive line. Now, the secondary has had problems. Their defensive line's always been pretty decent at Ohio State this year. I have not seen that defensive line play like that all year long. They were getting to the quarterback with 3 guys rushing. That's athleticism. That's fight. That's toughness. That's I'm going to beat you, and this is where it is. But you're the head coach of the Clemson Tigers, and that has to be the dumbest thing I've seen in my entire life. I can sit here and I can come up and say, coming up next, why Ohio State isn't even in the top 4. Hell, they're not even in the top 10, and send it to break. I can do that. And I can try to work you into a shoot, and that's just me. I'm a regular goofball. I can ass off all I want. You're the head coach. You're 51 years old. You ought to know better. And I got to put it to Dabo Swinney for this reason as well. If one of his players were asked that question, as some 20-year-old goofball, like what 20-year-old goofballs will do, if a 20-year-old kid answers that question, or I should say young adult, 20-year-old young adult answers that question, goes, well, what do you think Ohio State should have been ranked? Well, you know, I don't know. They didn't play in a lot of games. I don't know, because I think that they don't play in a lot of games. I can't put them in the top 10 because they didn't play in as many games as they did. We'd have ripped that kid always, any way possible we could have the entire day. And people would be ripping that kid today. People would be ripping that player right now. So if one of your players were to do it, and we would have said you're a obscene me guy. You have no care about your football team. You said the wrong thing. We'd rip them and say everything. We'd say it's the problem with the youth of America. We would say all these type of things. If I'm going to say that about one of your players, I damn sure better be able to say it about a 51-year-old guy who should know better. Because there's such a thing as coach speak, and it's a coach's poll. Who the hell cares? We all know the coach's poll isn't a real poll anyway, and that most coaches just do it to get it out of their hair because it's part of their job. And you really tried to put thought into this and say that Ohio State was 11th, and then you had to explain yourself all week. Oh, I wasn't taking a shot at Ohio State. Yeah, good luck telling college football fans you weren't taking a shot at another football team in college freaking football. It's the pettiest sport we have in America. College football and college football fans are the most pettiest people that you will find in sports, and you put Ohio State 11th? Forget what you do on third down. Forget being in zone or man coverage. Forget about running the ball on third and eight or passing the ball on third one. It doesn't matter about anything. It's the dumbest decision you made all week. And it's the dumbest decision I think you made in your career. Ohio State didn't win on motivation. It sure as hell didn't hurt. And now you'll answer to that forever. 11th place. Ranked 11th. LeBron James is tweeting about you. It is not the reason Ohio State won. Not the reason. It sure as hell didn't hurt. 855-212-4CBS. This is why there's such a thing as coach speak. Because coach speak gets you from the beginning of the press conference or interview to the end of it without getting anybody anything that they ever didn't need, without giving any extra motivation to anybody, because they don't need it. And teams look for reasons to be underdogs. They look for reasons to be disrespected. They look for reasons for it to be us against the world. That's why Ohio State had the score of last year's game playing in the Woody A's Athletic Center for the entire year, and then you go and you rank them 11th. Why don't you just insult their mothers while you're at it? Up next, you guys. I got calls from Ohio. I've had a lot of calls today from the Southeast. Seems like a lot of people in the Southeast part of the country have been waiting for the other shoe to drop on Dabo Swinney. That all coming up. It's Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
May I have the password, please?
Fidelio.
That's right. That is the password.
On CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. Got calls coming out of it like crazy. All right, we'll get to you guys. I mean, I had a whole setup for the top eight college football playoff spots. If people want to rip on Dabo, I was going to do the whole targeting issue. People want to rip on Dabo. We had calls out of nowhere. The Southeast, man. I got to admit, man, I thought, now they are an ACC team. And maybe that's the difference. I always thought the SEC or the Southeast kind of stuck to new. They were playing people. They didn't want that. I want to get to Chris in Ohio because I am seeing David Pollock's tweet. Oh, God, this is going to be great. All right, let me get to Chris in Ohio. Hello, Chris.
Hello. I want to know, what is the likelihood that Steve Sarkisian will do a Brian Kelly, as Kelly left his Cincy team before a playoff game 7 or 8, 9 years ago to go to Notre Dame with the excuse he's got to recruit? Will Sarkisian do the same thing?
That is a great question. I would say, gosh, he'll probably stay. You got a week left, and the recruiting is different because, remember, you had to go through December now. That was the early signing period or the big signing period now that has changed. I think you can make up after a week. So, Chris, thank you very much for the call. I think that's a legitimate question. See, I thought you were talking about the David Pollock tweet, which, is this a real tweet, Connor? Is this all real? I want to make sure we're reading this and this is right. I don't want to get hoodwinked. I don't want to get bamboozled here. All right, this is David Pollock. This is legitimate here. He says, I see and have heard that Sark is the guy at Texas, and now I've heard that Sark turned the job down. Connor, can you make heads or tails of this, son?
I can't make heads or tails of that, Ken.
Okay. Wait, how old are you again?
I'm 26 years old.
Okay, I can call you son. If you were 28, I'd talk to you differently. Let me get to Amos in Tennessee. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Amos.
Hey there. Thank you for taking my call. We don't claim Dabo as one of our own here in the South. Yeah, he's at Clemson, but he ain't SEC. So I can see how a lot of SEC people are calling a rip on him. I think this was a tactic that backfired. I honestly do, because I think that he knew that this would get publicity, and I think this would put pressure on them to perform the rest of the year, both in the these rankings came out before the ACC championship, right?
Believe so.
Okay,
now,
yeah.
I have to go back and look at that.
Okay, I think he wanted to put the pressure on his team to perform and get to that playoff by saying this, knowing that that would put a target on their back. And I think they've been here before, so I think that he thought that Clemson would take it better. And Ohio State just come out and outperformed them. But yeah, that's honestly what I think, because I don't think he'd say something that dumb and give them that kind of fire unless he think that his team would also try to take advantage of it. And
if
like
he
I
did
said,
that,
I think just backfired.
Amos, if he did that, and thank you very much for the call, my friend. If he did that, then he was really stupid. He's got every reason in the world to have his team motivated. They got beat by LSU last year. They are not defending national champions. You have a team that hates you. Ohio State hates Clemson. Not as much as they hate Michigan, but they sure as hell hate Clemson. They've never beaten Clemson. This whole thing started off with a fist. Yeah, and they were tired of hearing it. Had Urban Meyer, couldn't beat Clemson. Had a lead, couldn't beat Clemson. Got led into the college football playoff a few years back. Couldn't beat Clemson then. In fact, got their noses rubbed into it then. Ohio State hates Clemson. There should be no more motivation than, hey, they really hate your guys' guts. You're going to have to show them who you are tonight. That should be the motivation, not, hey, I'm going to get out my pen and paper. And even though usually college football coaches, this is the only time I think I've ever heard of something like this, where they just go down the line and, all right, this team did it, here you go, whatever. And it never makes news. Now I'm going to put Ohio State 11th. Oh, oh, you are you? Okay. I'm sure we won't make a big deal about that. No. The media? College football fans, hell. Don, Scott, and Clemson, I definitely want to take that call. Dean, you guys stay there. 855-212-4CBS. Is there right to rip on Dabo? I can't say anything but yes. And you know what? I don't think that Urban would make a great NFL coach. It's not for the reasons that these think pieces are saying, though. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio right now, and I haven't had this said to me. Connor just texted me. Let me check the text first. I want to make sure. Yes, it is. I knew it was. I wrote her name down. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the latest sports update with the fabulous Erica Herskowitz.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just like no bandit run.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Speak now, forever hold your peace. 855-212-4 CBS 855-212-4227. We'll get to the calls here in a moment. I was just talking to Connor during the break. Connor, you're a single guy, right?
That's right, Ken. I'm single.
26-year-old single man. He went to Syracuse. Ladies, I don't know what type of ladies are listening to me at 1:40 in the afternoon on the Eastern time on a Saturday, but you know what? Ladies, he's single. He's ready to mingle. I asked you, are you on any of them apps?
I give some of the apps a shot here and there. I'll get into it. But I don't know, Ken. I'm not crazy about the idea of meeting someone on an app on the internet.
Yeah, I guess so. I saw a commercial and there were people, they were like virtually dating. I'm like, people are doing that?
Yeah, I think what you can do with some of these apps is, like, now with the pandemic, they have features where you can meet someone on the app and then actually do, like, a video call with the person as opposed to going to the movies or something.
Oh, okay. That might be okay. I guess. That might be all right. A little different, but, you know, we are in pandemic times, which I also noticed. You have Facebook. Do you have Facebook, Connor?
Yep, I got Facebook, Twitter, and the old Instagram, too.
Okay, have you noticed, when's the last time you've been on Facebook? Recently?
I go in there every once in a while, probably a couple days ago.
Have you noticed that there are, you're 26, maybe it has me, have you noticed more pregnancy announcements? here over the last couple of weeks?
A little bit. I think that might be the big baby boom from the pandemic.
Well, see, I think that's where you're wrong here a little bit, because I had a theory myself, and I know we have more important things to talk about, but I got 10 minutes left, and I'm going to get this off my chest, damn it. I got on Facebook the other day, and I swear to God, there had to be like six. The same sit down, just sitting on it, whatever. I had to have seen six announcements. Baby number two's on the way. Baby number one, we're pregnant. Like, we're like, whoa. Which nobody, it's no weird pregnant. I wasn't pregnant. I only look pregnant. My wife has been pregnant. Either way, we're expecting, and I know that they talked about the baby boom, and it had to strike me. All right, this all started back in March. Now, the strictest lockdowns we've had happened in like April and May, right? March, April, May. That still don't add up. I think a lot of people got into a lockdown, then they fought, and then once the lockdowns loosened up a little bit, then I think that people did some making up. You get what I'm saying here?
I think it's like a, hookup, and then here we go, oops, kind of thing?
No. I think that there were plenty of people who were in perfectly fine, committed relationships, whatever. And then they were locked down, and when you're spending that much time with a person, you're bound to have some arguments there. And so they might have argued, and then as states started to loosen things up, like here in Ohio, like, okay, 10 to 5, it's a curfew, but you just can't really go to bars and restaurants and stores between 10 and 5. But you can drive around and do whatever, really. It's kind of that way with a lot of folks. Not that I'm saying to sidestep the laws, for our goodness. That's not what I'm saying. But it's not as much as it was back in April when it's like, you stay home. Like, it wasn't like that. It hasn't been like that. But I think that you came out of it during the summer, and I think there was some making up that was done, because it just looks like a lot of the timelines are, that might have happened there back in August. That might have happened back there in July. Here you are. What do you think of that, huh, Connor? You like that?
So I see what you're saying. So it's like, yeah, we fought a little bit, but I really, we should make it up. I love you. And then the magic happened.
Yeah, make it up, man. That's passionate stuff. You learn that. Connor, you've been in relationships before, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
There you go. One of these days I'll ask you why they didn't work out, but we don't have enough time right now. 855-212-4CBS. I'll get to the urban thing here in a second. I got Dabo Sweeney calls coming in like crazy. I want to get to Scott. Clemson's been on hold. He's in Clemson, South Carolina. I got to take this call. Hello, Scott. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Ken. How you doing? Good to listen to you this morning. Whatever time it is. We were up late last night.
Yeah, you were.
Listen, it's that's not characteristic of Dabo to not build somebody up. Typically, he builds up the team he's playing, and, he plays the underdog well. I'm a huge Dabo fan. I've never met him. Well, I shook his hand once, but I don't know him. My take on it is not so much that it was a hit on Ohio State. My take is that, he was pretty much calling out college football in the Big Ten. I don't know if it was or not, for just not playing when everybody else, following the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12, they were followers in this. And, now that you've got this team who's perfectly capable of beating anybody, but the Big Ten found ways to make it happen. And, I think that's just the take on it here. I don't see many Texas A&M fans complaining about Dabo right now, because he was – saying they need to be in there, Cincinnati,
yeah,
give them a shot,
Scott, I think I've had Dabo on twice, and he's always been – it's weird. I saw a producer – and hey, different experiences are different experiences. He said he had a problem with him in the past. I actually have had nothing but good conversation. We've had him on twice. Our producer has loved Dabo, and we've had Dabo on, and we've enjoyed Dabo. That's a reasonable explanation.
Yep.
But he's a college football coach. He can't do that. He can come out and say that the Big Ten. He could come out in a press conference and go, I don't understand why the Big Ten has these rules when they're just going to move the goalposts on these rules. He can look at it and go, you got a good program there with Tom Allen in Indiana that doesn't get a chance to do what they're supposed to do because the Big Ten wanted to move goalposts around and make sure that they put the big money team in there at Ohio State. He could have said that, and that probably would have been fine. But when you put a team 11th. You're making a statement no matter what, man. And he's paying dearly for it today.
Well, my thought is this. He took them and basically put them as number one. 11 was number one. The best team in the world without playing all the games is number one. I think he saw that they were that good. I think everybody says they're good. And if they play like they did last night, they're going to hang around with Alabama. If they have an answer for the passing game, Alabama,
Yeah.
You may see some stuff. You may see some stuff happen, but I think it depends on Fields if he's really healthy or not.
That's true.
You know, we can get into the targeting thing, too. It happens. By the rule, it counts. But, you know, this is off the Dabo thing because we love him here, and I don't think there's many coaches in Ryback, Texas, that call him in a heartbeat right now. I think when it comes to the targeting thing, if you try to hit a guy high, you're going to hit his helmet. So you try to go low, you try to use your shoulder, where your head's got to come. Your head's not going to wait behind. It's just it's a tough call, and I'm all for giving a penalty for it. But you know, kicking kids out of games, you know,
totally agree.
Did kill Ohio State, but last year it hurt Ohio State, and we just
totally agree.
It looked like targeting to me.
Go ahead,
and then,
Scott.
Then the interception toward the end, you know, where they try to see if it was a catch or not. Looked like a catch to me. It was last year.
Scott, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you, I couldn't agree. And thank you very much for the call. I couldn't agree with you more on that. I think that by the letter of the law, that is targeting. I can say to the letter of the law, yeah, that's targeting. I can also say that the law is terrible. We do this all the time in our real life. We change laws. Now, I don't think they're going to change this. I don't think they're going to change this rule because of the fear of litigation. You get people in white. You get people in suits and ties together, and you get them, and they start talking about lawyers, and they start talking about people having class action lawsuits like what happened a couple of years ago, and they're going to get nervous about that, so they're going to put in a rule. And I think it's patently stupid to throw a guy out of a game for a targeting call, or for his first targeting call anyway. If you get a second one, you want to go that far, fine. If you want to make it a spot foul plus 15 yards, you go right on ahead. I mean, make it a stiff penalty, but throwing them out. I think was it Nick or Joey Bosa that it happened to some years ago? And I thought it was asinine when it happened then. I would say for a lot of college football fans, if you're just watching a general game and have no rooting interest in it, you know that three out of four times of what you see is pretty egregious. Yeah, you will see a safety try to light a guy up and do something stupid and go head first. That will happen. That's the one-off. The other ones, they're happenstance. I thought I saw Justin Fields try to spin out of a tackle. Guy was there. Guy stuck him, and his helmet looked like he was going to have an accordion neck. I was nervous. You get nervous for the guy's safety. You got to learn to tackle better. But there's very little that you can do. You can't go in like that. That to the letter of the law, that's the law. That's the rule. I just think throwing guys out over targeting rules, whether it be this year with James Skalski or last year with Sean Wade in that football game, is stupid. Everything they can to play in these games. They put themselves at personal risk. They put themselves at draft risk. You throw them out of the game? I think it's a dumb, dumb rule. Don in Cleveland. Don, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Happy Saturday, Ken.
Same to you, Don.
I know you're indifferent to the Buckeyes. I am a Buckeye fan, as you know. So a couple comments about coaching in college football and the game last night. I'll start with the game. I think Dabo's comments were a shot at Ohio State, and I don't think he kind of exposed a little bit of his inner self, in which a lot of fans do. As fans, I think we've talked about this on your other show. As a fan, you always want the easiest path to the championship, correct? I mean, it's silly to say you want the hardest path, correct?
I've said that before, but that was a silly thing to say, so yes.
Yes, exactly. I remember. Bring on the Yankees, right. But at the end of the day, we want the easy path. Now, Dabo voting the Buckeyes 11th, that wasn't going to keep the Buckeyes out of the playoffs. I don't think Dabo thought that. But I think it exposed him a little bit to, like, I don't want these guys in there. And that's his inner thoughts. So to your coach speak comment, as gets talked about with the maturation of Baker Mayfield, he's saying the things that Stefanski says all the time now, correct?
Yes.
So that translates coach speak down to the players. Well, there's no doubt that what Dabo did with his comments – translated down to his players. His players took on the sense of arrogance that Dabo Swinney has. I believe that helped. Now, I don't think it was the biggest difference in the game. I think Ryan Day outcoached him. I think the Buckeyes players outplayed.
I agree with him.
Do think that motivational factor kicked in. And I'll make one final comment about coaching in general. I think there's always a little luck with the program getting the right guy. Ryan Day was under Urban Meyer for a little while. Ryan Day is the evolution of Urban Meyer, who I think got stale. He got a little complacent, lost some of those games he shouldn't have. Ryan Day is cutthroat. Ryan Day will score 400 points on you if he can. So going to these other programs who don't get these guys, we'll use Michigan, for example. You've said this before. Michigan's problem is they're too hung up on a Michigan guy.
Uh-huh.
They need to go outside that program. They need to get an innovative guy. And Jim Harbaugh just isn't that guy.
Absolutely.
And what I'll say is I think Michigan screwed up years ago, not saying it would have worked out in the long run, but I think they had their guy that didn't fit the mold I just described in Rich Rodriguez. Innovative guy, not a Michigan guy. They fired him too soon. So when you look at some of these other programs, you can't find these coaches. Go ahead.
I do think, Donna, because I'm up against it, I want to get one more phone call in, so I got to let you go. With Rich Rod, I thought that was the proper time. I think that he did lose total control over that. Now, he had some time at Arizona. There was a little bit of success there, and then, of course, he ran himself out of town. And that was a famous one. I think he lost control over that. That part I disagree with. I just don't think – when we're talking about Michigan men and guys from the culture here, Bo Schembechler's from Barberton, Ohio, and was a coach at Miami and was an assistant under Woody Hayes before he got to Michigan, and then he's a quintessential Michigan man. That's not my words. That's John U. Bacon. And John U. Bacon knows more about Michigan than governors of Michigan. That guy knows more about the state and more about that program than people from there. And so you had him, you had Fielding Yost, who was an outsider. You don't necessarily need a Michigan man. It's the same thing. It's why I'm going to root for Brian Harsin at Auburn. I don't like the whole, well, if you're not from the SEC, you don't get the SEC thing. And no matter what, and this goes back, and I'm glad I took Don's call right after Scott. Dabo can explain it every way he possibly can until he just says he's done explaining it. People are going to take it that way. College football is as petty as it gets. And I see Ryan Day as a modern, quieter Steve Spurrier. When you're going big fly up 21 in the fourth quarter, you're telling the world something without telling it. I can give you like 40 seconds, Dean. Go ahead.
Okay, just wanted to call Sam, a lifelong Ohio State Buckeye fan. And when Dabo made his comment, I was over at my daughter's, and we looked at each other, and I said, this is the year we beat Clemson. And my daughter just said, how could he be that stupid? So, and please tell Connor, my dad went to Syracuse. Anybody went to Syracuse is a good man. My dad married a wonderful woman who was my mother. So tell Connor not to despair. There's plenty of hope and good times ahead.
Thank you, Dean. I appreciate it. Connor, how you feel now? You off the turnpike and looking for love?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Dean's a gentleman and scholar, and now I have a lot to look forward to.
But you got a lot to offer a girl. You went to Syracuse. You're smart. I don't know what you look like. Who the hell knows? But you went to Syracuse and you're smart. Big thanks to Anthony Pirno, Connor Green doing a fantastic job, Marco Belletti, Erica Herskowitz, John Marks is next. Have a wonderful weekend, my friends. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.